אוקיי, אז בעזרת השם אנחנו מקדישים את השיעור לרפואת אביגיל בת יהודית, שתהיה לה רפואה שלמה בתוך שאר חולי עם ישראל.
בעזרת השם.
Also the name Avigail is Lamed and Gimel. This is Torah Lamed Gimel in the Likutei Moharan, page 92 in this edition. Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim? Who the man that wants life? Ohev yamim, he loves the days, lirot tov, to see only good. Rabbeinu is saying, haklal hu, there is a rule, shetzarich levakesh shalom, that a man needs to ask for peace. Shiye shalom ben Israel, that we're going to have peace between of all of Am Israel. Veshiye shalom lechol echad, במידותיו, and that everyone gonna have peace in their attributes, in their midot. Each and every one of us have to take care first of all on himself. Haynu shelo yeh mechulak b'midotav u'b'meorotav, that he will not gonna be divided in his attributes and in his actions, in things that happens to him. What that means? שלא יהיה לו חילוק בין בטיבו בין בעקו, that he will not gonna divide, means that he will not gonna prefer good situations than hard situations, means the man needs to accept everything with faith. And you see that Rabbeinu HaKadosh is calling that peace. Without faith you cannot have, with no faith you cannot have peace. And it means that the man should tamid, always, yimtza bo, gonna find in it Hashem Yitbarach, the name of Hashem Yitbarach. In every situation you should look for Hashem Yitbarach. Rav Shalom said there is a rule, a basic rule, that everything depends in, all Judaism depends in that. And it calls en yisurim belo avon. There is no suffering without a sin. Means that the man has to accept all of the suffering, all of the difficulties that he's going through in his life, out of that understanding that he sinned. And now that he sinned, he cannot complain anymore. This is it. Not on the wife, not on the children, not on the friends, not on people, not on Arab, not on the system, not on nothing. Nothing exists. Just Hashem is leading you according to your level, according to your needs. And if you're suffering, it's because that you sinned. And if you sinned, now the suffering is surim mechaprim et ha'avonot. Are, how you say mechaprim?
Toning.
The Yisurim, the suffering, are atoning,
atoning
the avonot, the sins. And actually, it's cleaning you. And if you're just going to accept it, you're just going to be clean. And it's just a favor that they're doing to you from heaven, that they're purifying you, that they're cleaning you, that they're letting us do tshuva, and to complete our tshuva. And if a man is accepting the small suffering, the small difficulties, he will not going to have to suffer more. And he will accept it and going to clean and purify himself by that. And if not, if he's arguing, so he's going to be punished more and more. And it's going to be harder and harder to fix him. And sometimes Rabbeinu is saying that there are certain illnesses and problems, very strong ones, that the man cannot be healed from them at all. Not with charity, not with going to give tzedakah, not to righteous people, not by nothing. Why? Because they are makot, hits, that he received because he didn't have faith. Al-ovdan ha'emuna, that he lost his faith. So the main thing that a man needs to do in his life is to seek after Hashem, to keep on investigating, where is Hashem? Hashem, where are you? Hashem, what do you want from me? For that we have to talk to Hashem Yitbarach, and to fulfill our obligation in doing 1 hour in Bodedut, it will not going to bring us to that place. We have to have a daily conversation with the Creator, mamash, a conversation, that you're talking to Him like you're talking to your best friend, and reviewing, going on all of the day from last day Hitbodedut until today Hitbodedut. Rav Shalom said, I don't remember one day from my beginning of my tshuva that I haven't made a trial, that I was judging myself from yesterday's Hitbodedut until today. It cannot be that a man going to serve Hashem and he will not going to check himself all of the time where he's holding in Avodat Hashem. If you're not checking yourself where you're holding in Avodat Hashem, it means that you don't care, or that you're so sure that you're right, that you know it all. And Shlomo HaMelech said that the main purpose of wisdom, that the complete way of wisdom to know, is to know that you don't know nothing. I said, alright, I want to be wiser, and then I realized that it's far from me. Like we said yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was the most humble man in the world. He was the one that brought the Torah to Am Yisrael. He is the one. Means that it's a wisdom to be humble, to know that you don't know nothing. Rabbeinu once said, until today I told you that the purpose of knowledge is not to know nothing. Tachlit ha'idi'a shelo neda. And now I'm telling you that the purpose of knowledge is that we know that we don't know nothing, that we don't know really nothing, that we really don't know nothing. And then he said, and even that you are saying the understanding that you had before is the same like the understanding that you had now, I'm telling you that now I realize that the purpose of knowledge is to know that really you don't know nothing. This is the real understanding. That every time that you're growing, that you're developing, you just understand that you don't know nothing. Like I told you a few times before, in the end of the sugiya, you finish clarifying that sugiya. If now you're saying, alright, I got it, it means that you lost that sugiya because of your arrogance. When you finish learning all of the sugiya and all of the mefarshim on that sugiya, you should understand that for sure they're counting on things that you're not aware to them at all. That for sure you have a lot more to investigate and to learn and to ask for Hashem Yitbarach and to cry. How can it be that if for me it took me 10 minutes to understand that Tosfot? How can it be? Tosfot, the genius Tosfot, they were sitting to write something that I'm going to understand in 10 minutes for sure, that I wouldn't, that I'm all wrong. You read Rashi like that, reviewing Rashi, flying on Rashi. This is Rashi. You know, there's a story on Rashi that there was one Mefaresh, one of the Chachamim, that he wrote explanation on the Torah. And he came to his rabbi and he opened it in front of him and he read it and he told him, Amash, it's amazing, it's very strong, but you should write in a shorter way. So he told him, all right, if Rav said to write it shorter, so I'm going to make it shorter. And he said, and he made it shorter. He brought it back to his rabbi. His rabbi told him, it's very nice, but I think you can make it even a little bit shorter. And he made it shorter. And he brought it back to Rav, and Rav looked at it and told him, Mamash, you made an amazing job. Now, just take the first letters of every word and write them. Looked very weird for him, but he said, if Rav said that, so I'm going to do that. And he wrote those, and it was exactly the words of Rashi. The words, the letters that he took out from the words of his explanation were the words of Rashi. Came out the words of Rashi. Rashi HaKadosh, every word is... Rabbi Nachman said of Rashi, that Rashi, he is the brother of the Torah. You can understand what we're talking about? He is the brother of the Torah, means that he is equal to the Torah. We cannot understand the Torah without Rashi. So now this is it. Rashi. Oh, Rashi is saying this, and this is it. No. Don't understand nothing in Rashi. And this is supposed to be our approach when we're coming to learn Rashi. That for sure we don't understand what Rashi is saying to us. You can be satisfied and happy with what that you got. Baruch Hashem, I got something in Rashi. Baruch Hashem, I realized something. Baruch Hashem, I learned a little bit from Tosfot, but to feel... I finished this page with Tosfot, with Rashi and Tosfot on that page. It's imagination. means that you're arrogant. It means that you think that you can understand, that you have the vessel to contain the Torah. Torah is infinity. If the Gaon Mivilna said that what that he learned from the Torah, it's only one drop from the sea, the Gaon Mivilna. So what are we going to say? We cannot understand the explanations of the Gaon Mivilna on the Shas. And he said that he found one drop, that he took what that he got, one drop from the sea, from all of the Torah and the Shas. Means nothing. So this is the Gaon Mivilna said. How much we need to be humble, how much we need to accept those things, to work on those midot, to work on those midot, to beg to Hashem Yitbarach, to beg. It's not something natural that you're going to be humble, that I'm going to be humble. It's have to come through years of very, very hard effort on that issue, to be humble, to respect everyone, to appreciate everyone, to know Jews, neshamot of Yehudim are standing in front of me. I need to appreciate everyone. I need to cherish the moments of spending time with Jewish people, of Rechim, sitting, learning in Yeshiva. I should think about those moments of Amash. Thank you, Hashem, for having that merit. Harav Shalom once in a shiur, he said, I wanted to thank you so much that you let me come to the shiur and to learn Torah with you together. If you would know what I'm going through in my thoughts all of the time, for sure you would kick me out from the yeshiva. But thank you, I really appreciate it that you let me come. He said that, and then he explained it. He said the reason what's the reason that I'm teaching and not some one of you is because that you respect me, that I'm older than you, that I was with more tzaddikim, I met more people, I learned a little bit more, I read a few more books or something. This is it. I know to read good from the books. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm reading, but we're all together. This is the point of view. If you're going to think Chas Shalom, Rav is just, he's, how you say, magzim, exaggerating, he's not. If he wouldn't really think like that he's the lowest one of them all, he wouldn't receive all of that light from Hashem Yitbarach. The Torah is going to low places. As lower as you're going to be, you're going to be able to contain more Torah. And if you're going to be arrogant, and more arrogant, and more, until you become to be a mountain, or you think that you're something, for sure you cannot contain nothing. All of the water are running to the sides, running away from you. Running away. The Torah that you're learning, she's screaming to Hashem Yitbarach. Rabbeinu is writing that in Likutei Moharan, that the Torah, she's looking for a vessel to, but if someone that is not air, that is not a vessel, that is not humble, is learning the Torah, it's written on him, Ne'etarot Neshikot Sone, that the Torah, she's suffering, she's crying to Hashem Yitbarach, don't let that man learn me. She's in exile inside of his mouth. The Torah is going to exile. So as more humble as you're going to be, so Rabbeinu and Borei Olam, Borei Olam looked at us and he said, what my son's going to do? How are they going to receive the Torah? They become to be so arrogant. And each and every one of us, very, very sick in that issue of Gava. We're all mamash Gav Tanim, all of us. Me, the first one of all of you. You can see that, it's obvious. All of us, each and every one of us, so arrogant, there is no doubt about it. And Borei Olam still wanted to give us the Torah because he loves us so much. So what he had to do? What are you going to do? They're not able to receive the Torah because they're so arrogant. But still I want to give them the Torah. So he accepted suffering on himself. What it means? That he let us sin and ruin important things that he built to break rules of the Torah. That we're going to defect everything that is holy, everything that is pure. And then he's going to show us that we've done that. And then we're going to be humble. The humility for us can be only when we see our lackings. So Hashem let us sin, and Hashem is not looking at that, like that it's written, Lo yibit aben beYaakov, that Hashem is not looking at the sins of Am Yisrael, and He's looking only on the positive sides of Am Yisrael, like that it's written, Libavtini beachat me'enayi, veachat anak mitzaveronayich, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Am Yisrael, you like a bride that were cheating your husband under the chuppah, In the time of the chupa, when we got married, you were looking at me, that I was the husband, the chatan, the groom, in one eye. And in the other eye, you were looking on the golden calf to worship idols. So it's like a bride that was cheating in the wedding. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to that bride that it's us. You thrilled me when you were looking at me with one eye. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so humble. Looking, you can imagine a situation like that. Someone can imagine a situation like that. Where's the baseball bat? Where I forgot my baseball bat. Who gonna let it be? Who can think about it? Even if there's an option. And even if someone would close his mouth and he wouldn't talk, he would revenge and he would hold it in his heart. And noter venokem, and he would never forgive and forget. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking at it at all. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu done for us. This is what it's written, that the man that is doing tshuva out of love, even his abonot becomes to be zchuyot. His sins become to be his merits. Because suddenly you see that it's a merit that you sinned. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed you down to see your attributes and your midot and your lackings, it just gave you the tools, the vessels, to contain Torah, to have faith. And without it, you would never do tshuva. Like everyone that's going to testify, and I want to see the one that will say, no, please bless me if you're not a liar. That's going to say that the success in life brought him to Hashem Yitbarach, that the good things that he had in his life brought him to Hashem Yitbarach. I wish to see that man. Everyone made tshuva because of difficulties. Everyone made tshuva because that they felt so bad with themselves, that they felt emptiness, that they felt alone, that they felt sorrow, that they felt because of the avonot, because of the sins. They felt they're doing something wrong, that something is bad. Felt something wrong with them, so they woke up to do tshuva. Hashem took all of that sorrow. But Mistarim Tivke Nafshi, Hashem is crying, hides himself and crying. If he would say it, Kadosh Baruch Hu's sorrow, none of us would be able to continue to serve Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is hiding his sorrow and he's smiling and he's smiling and he's showing to us that everything is good and he's taking it all on himself. Like the Rabbeinu said that everyone today have the amount of suffering that he's capable to deal with. And all of the rest, Rabbeinu said, I took it on myself. Rabbeinu said that he was suffering such huge, crazy suffering that he could break a stick of wood with his teeth because of the pain. And he said, then I have the ability to stop that pain, that suffering, if I just want. I'm just rejecting the suffering for me. And I'm not going to suffer, but I'm accepting it for you. And Rabbeinu was suffering. And only for the Tikkun HaKlali, that we're not appreciating it at all. For the Tikkun HaKlali, Rabbeinu said that he lost his wife and two of his children. For the Tikkun HaKlali, that we're going to have Tikkun HaKlali. You know what it means, Tikkun HaKlali, what Rabbeinu brought? Even David HaMelech that wrote the book of Tehillim, those chapters, he didn't know what he was writing. And Rabbeinu took it out. David HaMelech brought light into the world, light. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbeinu said that a lot of righteous people were looking through the generations for a solution, for something to fix Pgam HaBrit. The Zohar HaKadosh is saying there is no tikkun for that. All of the Chachamim, in all of the generations, no one had tikkun for that. Not Ari HaKadosh, no one wrote tikkun for that. You cannot fix it. Especially horrible avonot of Pgam HaBrit like we have in this generation. Crazy things that people are doing. There is no tikkun. There was no tikkun. Until Rabbeinu sacrificed himself and killed himself for each and every one of us. One time one of the people came to Rabbeinu to ask him on money. Rabbeinu started to cry. And he told him, where you find that power to come And to disturb me with those words on money, when I'm sacrificing myself and spending days and night to open a way in the desert just for you, trying to build a city, a yeshuv, a place to live, Because each and every one of you, your heart is like a desert. Me'en Yoshev, that the Shekhinah cannot stay in that place. And I'm choter, dragging, carving and opening a way that the Shekhinah is going to be able to sit in your heart. And you're coming and talking to me about money. Rabbeinu is working that we're going to do tshuva, that we're going to have faith. We know everyone going to look inside. What were we holding in our Avodat Hashem? What we had in our lives before we met Rabbeinu? Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter, that he was so pure and so kosher that we cannot imagine. That he was a genius in Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin in Polina before the Holocaust. And he said, I was worshipping idols in purity before that I met Rabbeinu. Before that, he means that he found Torah in Likutei Moharan. One Torah that he read in Likutei Moharan changed his life. Changed his life. People with point of truth. I'm not talking geniuses. Look on Rabbi Yoshua Cohen. Rabbi Yoshua Cohen is Gdol Dor. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef said that Rabbi Yoshua Cohen is bigger than him in Shas. Rabbi Yoshua Cohen is going to Uman. Rabbi Yoshua Cohen. What's he doing in Uman? He's going with Rav Shalom to Uman. He's going to Uman. He was a few years in Rosh Hashanah in Uman. I saw him a few times in Uman. Rosh Hashanah. Rav Yoshua Cohen, Shas Cohen. You know how much money they offered him to leave Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed and go to teach in Litvish Yeshivat? You know, you can imagine the numbers? He said, that place I was not going to leave, never. Rabbeinu said, there is a pillar, a beam of light that comes down from the Hechal of Rabbeinu HaKadosh in heaven that go down straight to Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed. You sit here, you want to do tshuva. You sit here and you feel like Rabbeinu said, like the epikorsim, people that are epikorsim, that they were very far from Torah and Mitzvot, very far. And when they heard that Rabbeinu came to the city to Uman, they said, like, let's go and make fun of him. And they started to try and they couldn't. And they mamash attached themselves to Rabbeinu. And Rabbeinu was sitting and playing chess with them and talking to them. Long conversations. One of them, and they made an oath, that group, before that they made Rabbeinu, that they met Rabbeinu, they made an oath that they will not going to mention the name of the Creator of the Borei Olam, never at all, never anymore in their lives. They said that it just brings confusions into their way of thinking if they're mentioning the name of Hashem. So they decided not to even mention the name of Hashem in Barach anymore. One of them, after a few years that he was attached to Rabbeinu, he said that every time that he sees Rabbeinu, he feels, I don't remember his name. He felt, what?
Ash?
I don't remember which of them. Yeah. There were three.
Ash.
That he said that every time that he sees Rabbeinu, he feels like they're pulling him from his clothes and saying to him his name, Hirsch, I don't know, I'm not sure. What? There is God, Yesh Elohim. This was what he felt. Every time telling him, Yesh Elohim, there is God. This is what that I feel every time listening to Arad, every time coming to the Yeshiva. You can come, you can feel the highest, and immediately that you see the face of Arad, you feel it, you know for sure, you're not holding nothing. I came to Arav a few days ago with a thought in my head. Again, I told you that a lot of times I want to ask from Arav that I'm going to sit and learn with him. I have that thought for years. I'm going with that thought. You hear? You're with me. You hear that I'm talking about it all of the time. I want that. I have a strong desire to sit to learn with Arav. Of course, it's to learn from Arav, but I want to spend time with him. And last, mamash, two times ago, before I went to see him, I decided, this is it. This time you're going to come to Arav and you're going to tell him, Arav, please, I want to sit and learn with you. I came to Arav, the words that came out from my mouth were, Arav, please help me to do tshuva. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not a request that you wanted to ask. It's not the thing that you wanted to ask. I cannot ask him to sit and learn with him. It's not close to my level. I still can want, and I do. And I'll pray on it, and Be'ezrat Hashem, I believe that it will happen. But the truth is that what I should ask for him is to do tshuva, that he's going to help me to do tshuva. Who am I to sit and learn with him? He's somewhere that I don't know where to point. I don't, where is he? Arab? Oh, Arab? No. It's not Arab. This Arab? No, it's not this Arab. Where is this Arab? We don't know Arab at all. We don't know nothing. That humility is the point of truth that a man have inside of his heart. And when Hashem going to decide that you're going to be a Talmid Chacham, you're going to be a Talmid Chacham, v'yaritzu min abor, they took him out, they forced him to run outside from the pit, from the prison that he was in. They shaved him, they fixed his hair, they gave him royal garments and brought him in front of the king. In one day, like Rav Berlan told Rav Shalom, that one day he woke up with all of the Torah in the palm of his hand. All of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Torah Mimidbar Matana from the desert as a free gift. What it means from the desert? When you know that you're like the desert. When you know that nothing can grow on you. That you're dry like the desert. Then you're going to receive the Torah as a free gift. As a free gift Matana. This is the way of really getting closer to the Chachamim, to the Tzadikim. To receive the light of the Torah. It's only by that, by humility. And a man that is humble, and this is what the Rabbeinu is writing, a man that is humble, even on the difficulties that he's got in his life, he can thank Hashem Yitbarach because he feels that he's not worthy. And on the punishments, he understands, for that he feels worthy. For that he feels that for sure Hashem is still punishing him with a lot of mercy. And he's thanking Hashem Yitbarach. Like that one time I heard that Rabbi Shmuel Shapira was going in Shar Shechem toward to the Kotel HaMa'aravi, and while he was walking, one of the Aravim was throwing through a tomato on his face, a rotten tomato, and it splashed on him and filled him. And the helper, the one that walked with him, said that he heard Rabbi Shmuel Shapira saying, Baruch Hashem that it wasn't a stone. Baruch Hashem that it wasn't a stone. Thanking Hashem Yitbarach that it wasn't a stone. Really, Hashem, someone threw something on my face now. It means that I was deserved to receive a stone. But you, Baruch Hashem, canceled it and changed it, replaced it to be something that it's nothing. It's shtuyot. I'm going to wash my face and this is it. It's all nothing. All of punishments. All of difficulties. So you need to spend a few more hours in your house. So you need to give some money for a certain fine or something. So you, I don't know what, you need to take your car with a flat tire to take it to the garage. So what? So what? It's nothing. Check it. Check it. Look, one time on the news, what's going on outside. You're going to thank Hashem Yitbarach. You know what's going on outside. You need to hear your wife rebuking you. You need to see the kids are fighting. I don't know. It's nothing. It's not in the scale of suffering at all. It's not suffering at all. Everyone should look at his life like that and to be so appreciate Hashem Yitbarach, to thank Hashem so much. Thank you that you're making that forgiveness for me with nothing, with small things, small suffering. If you're accepting them with love, they can forgive you, they can mechaper, atone for you. But if you're not accepting them, so that stubbornness is waking up more judgments, more dinim, more anger. And if you're complaining and opening your mouth, immediately they're saying, who is that? What you're saying? That Hashem is not righteous? Alright, let's check. And they're opening the books. And when the books are opening, oy va'avoy lanu. Oy va'avoy lanu. None of us know how to keep Shabbos. None of us know how to keep Shabbos. The minimum, Ilchot Shabbat, we don't know. None of us. And if you know, please teach me. I'm begging and I'm sorry for insulting you. I don't know how a man can know Ilchot Shabbat if he's not learning 6-7 hours a day Ilchot Shabbat. I don't know. You can hear Ilchot Shabbat, you hear Halakha, and you live according to that Halakha for 5-6 years of Tshuva, and suddenly you hear a Shiur that breaks all of that Shita, and it's not exist. And you're trying to look in the books where you read that halakha because you remember that you learned that it's not exist, the fruits of your imagination. a lot of very, how you say, shefa, bounty of fruits of your imaginations. Yeah. Learning, imaginations, flying, freelance, writing a new book. My book of halakha. My book of imaginations. Really? The man that is Am Haaretz, he's not a chassid. Can you define yourself as a Talmid Chacham? That you're going to be a chassid, that you know to keep the halakhot of Shabbat? If you're still an Am Haaretz, what's the question? The definition of a Talmid Chacham is a man that he was Meshamesh Talmidei Chachamim, that he was spending long, long years of his life to Lashamesh Talmidei Chachamim, to be a helper of Talmidei Chachamim, real Talmidei Chachamim. And that a man that is doing tshuva on everything from yesterday until today, not just doing tshuva to fulfill his obligation, oh, I made 1 hour, Baruch Hashem, Hashem, sorry on that shachrit, Hashem, sorry on that mincha, please Hashem give me Yirat Shamayim, Baruch Hashem, I made tshuva, now I'm going to pray Hashem, please give me money, please I need a car, please Rebbeinu Sholam, I need a ticket for Uman for free, please Rebbeinu Sholam, that everyone's going to respect me, give me. This is not 1 hour it bodedut. 1 hour it bodedut is that you're going to the field and you're putting all of your powers on working on your midot as much as you can. For one it's going to be half an hour tshuva, for one it's going to be few hours that he cannot go out from the field, that he doesn't have nowhere to go to if he's keep on sinning. This is the level that you cannot go out. This is the real level. That if you see that you haven't fixed yourself, you should ask Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, why should I go out from the field? Where am I going to go? To sin, to make my wife sorry again, to rebuke my children again, to fight with people again, to be angry. Where am I going to go from here, Ribbono Shel Olam? To twist the rules of the Torah, to be mitnatzach on Limud HaGemara, to destroy everything that Chachamim built. Where am I going to go to? If the man have the merit, so the Torah becomes to be a potion. And if the man doesn't have the merit, so it becomes to be poison. So where am I going to? I'm going to kill myself. I know for sure that I'm lo zacha. I know on myself that I'm lo zacha, that I haven't purified myself. Zacha means zikechet atzmo, purified himself. Can I say lashlot et atzmi?
Deceive
myself to say that no, I purified myself, now I'm going to go and learn Torah. Gemara is saying that if you haven't purified yourself, the Torah becomes to be a poison. How can you learn Torah? How can I learn Torah? How am I allowing myself to open a book, to poison myself? And that humility, that point of humbleness,
humility.
Point of humility. You see, you can write a new book, dictionary, whatever you want, you can write. I'm strong in that. That point of truth is going to bring you to talk to Hashem Yitzhak from the bottom of your heart and to cry, please, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I'm afraid. And then, with that fear, you're going to learn Torah, bir'ah b'pachad, and your limud is going to be in yir'at shamayim, and it's going to be limud lishma, because you know that you're dangerous, you know that you have a crazy yetzarah that burns to hell inside of yourself. And then you're going to be afraid. Rabbi Natan came one time to Rabbeinu HaKadosh and told him that his father-in-law is trying to put him in as Av Beit Din, to be a chief rabbi in a certain court, on certain cities. And Rabbeinu told him, alright, go for it, do that. So he told him, but I'm afraid, maybe I'm going to mistake. Rabbeinu answered to him and told him, do you want someone that's not afraid to sit in that court? Someone that is not afraid to mistake? The fact that you're afraid to mistake, this is the point of truth that's going to take you to go and to open the books again and again and again. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, the genius of all geniuses, he wouldn't answer the smallest questions without opening all of the books. Why? Because he forgot? Because he was old.
No, because it's written, "Al ta'amin batzmach ad yom motach," that you're not allowed to count on yourself until the day that you're gonna die. Because you have yetzer hara. And if you have yetzer hara inside of yourself, so how can you tell what's gonna be? Avera goreret avera. One sin drags another sin. If you saw yourself that you sinned, how can you tell when the next one gonna be? How do you know when the next guy, for sure it's gonna come? When? How can you know when? So you're not allowed to learn, you're not allowed to teach until you're gonna cry and beg to Hashem Yitbarach. Like a man that have a plate with 50% poison inside of it and 50% good food, healthy food inside of it. And he is starving and he have to eat. And he knows that if he will not eat, he's gonna die. And he knows that if he's gonna eat, he can die also. What are you gonna do holding that spoon with a shaking hand? You're gonna beg, "Please, Ribbono Shel Olam, that I will not mistake. Please let me eat from the food and not from the poison." This is how you should come to learn Torah. This is how you should come to do tshuva. Because you know that the real tshuva gonna bring you to happiness. Gonna make that kaparat avonot. Atonement. But you know that bad tshuva, the tshuva out of sadness, is going to drag you to lower places. And it's not tshuva at all. It's to chase after yourself and to damage yourself more than the Yetzer Hara done to us. We know it all. We ruined our lives a lot more than the Yetzer Hara done to us. What the Yetzer Hara done to us? Nonsense. We killed ourselves thousands of times more. Yetzer Hara is a joke for the damage that we made to ourselves. In the best days that we had in our lives, we ruined our lives. When we had everything, we spoiled our lives and ruined everything. We're worse than the Yetzer Hara, thousands of times worse than him. Well, he's a joke according to the damage that we made to ourselves. I'm talking to ourselves. We invited the Yetzer Hara over and over. "Please, please come, please come over, please. Where are you, Yetzer Hara? Where are you going and looking for him in the streets? Looking for trouble. Going, looking for trouble, looking for damages, looking for sins, looking for avonot, opening your eyes. Where is it? Where is it? Where is the Yetzer Hara? Where I can see more of it? Where I'm going to achieve more of Yetzer Hara?" We invited him. He was surprised. He was amazed. "Oh, really? You like it so much? You never thought that it's going to be so easy." Bo'olam is doing all of it, all of it, all of it, that we're going to wake up. That we're going to wake up to realize that we cannot make it without Hashem. And that we're going to start crying and screaming and begging to Hashem Yitbarach that He's going to be Machzir Otanu B'tshuva. And not that we're going to imagine to ourselves, "No, I'm Chozer B'tshuva, I'm doing tshuva now, I'm daily going to the field." You're arrogant. You're far from Hashem Yitbarach like heaven to earth. If you think that you are Machzir Et Atzmecha B'tshuva, that you bring yourself to do tshuva, you live in a fantasy. You live in an imaginary world. It's not exist. We're begging Hashem Yitbarach, Hashivenu Avinu Venashuva. You're gonna bring us back. If He will not gonna wake us up, how are we gonna wake up? Can you wake up from your lusts and desires? Can someone testify that once He woke up? Only if Hashem slaps you in the middle of your face, in the middle of your meal, in the middle of your lusts and desires, it suddenly makes you to fail. Only that wakes you up. Only that you suddenly look at yourself. I remember myself once, I was sitting and eating with my family, and my wife, she asked me if I want another dish, odd manah.
Portion.
What?
Portion.
Portion?
Mm-hmm. Or serving.
Can make up words, whatever, no problem, no one rebukes them. And I said, "Yes, alright, I haven't done nothing, I just said yes, alright." After a while, during that seuda, one of my sons asked if he can have more also, and she told him, "This is it, no, it's over, the pot was empty." And he said, "Mommy, I'm still hungry." You know what happened to me in that moment? You know what happened to me in that moment? That I realized that I was eating my son's food. I really felt it. Hashem gave me a heart in that day to feel. You can eat the food of your children. And you will not gonna care about it at all. You are a man, you're adult, you're hungry, you're eating, you haven't ate from the morning, you have all of the stories that you can make up for yourself in the world. Someone hungry sits close to you, your child, your friend. You have 10 shekels to go to buy yourself a sandwich, and you just bought a sandwich. You're not sitting to eat sushi. You bought a sandwich, but can be a friend sits close to you that he doesn't have those 10 shekels, not only today, never. And he will look at you and gonna smell your pathetic sandwich. And for him it's gonna be the best sandwich in the world. And you're not aware to that. And you're saying your bracha out loud, that everyone gonna answer amen. And there is someone in the corner that he wants to bury himself alive because he doesn't have, he's broke. He doesn't have money. And you're going from to the supermarket and coming back with bags and things and everything that you need. Someone is looking to you, looking at you. He never went to that supermarket. Never. Never. He received all of his vegetables from a gmach from the yeshiva, the rotten vegetables that the yeshiva have to give. And meat they're eating once in a while. One of the friends, I was a witness in that conversation. One of my friends in the yeshiva, he told me, you know, on him and someone, that we were three all together. And he told me, you know, which poverty they were living, that they were eating tuna fish in Shabbos. That friend, the third one, looked at him and told him, tuna fish, it was good. It was the good days that we were eating tuna. What can you say? How can you open your mouth? If that man is testifying on himself that he didn't have tuna fish for Shabbos, to eat bread and tuna. And there are people that are suffering today like that. That today they don't have that tuna. Today they don't have bread. Today they're not married. Today they don't have children. Today they don't know how to learn Torah. You sit and learn Torah, and someone doesn't know how to learn. And when he sees you sitting and learning Torah, he feels embarrassed. He's afraid, and he's going to say to himself one day, if you will not going to drag him to sit, one day he's going to say, it's not for me. It's not for me. And you're going to leave the yeshiva. And you know whose fault is it? Ours. That we haven't hugged him, that we haven't talked to him, that we haven't dedicated time for him, to sit, to learn with him, to love him, to support him, to give him from our money, to give him from our advice, to give him from our time, to give him from the talents that we have. Everyone from us that he's got. To give, this is the purpose of life. To receive, it's the purpose of the world to come, let's say. To receive the reward, let's say. Here it's not exist. Here it's not exist to receive. If you're doing almenat lekabel, because you want to receive something, it's way far from the truth. Torat Chaim, Chaim is something that you give, it's not something that you can take. You're not taking life, you're giving life. You're supporting, you're smiling. The Torah is Torah of giving, of netina, of ashpa'ah. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, only from Sinai to receive, only from Hashem to receive. And immediately, Mstara li Yoshua, gave it to Yoshua, immediately! Give it to Yoshua, and Yoshua immediately to the Zkenim, and Zkenim to the Nevi'im, and Nevi'im gave it to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And immediately they're talking to us, and wrote the Mishnayot, and wrote the Gemarot, and the Braitot, and after it, all of the books of the Geonim, Saboraim, and the Menon, and on to all of the generation. This is Torah. You're learning Torah now for yourself, so you're stealing all of what they wrote through the years. Now you, alright, it's me. Give it to me. This is it. Now it is time. Alright, come on. All of you, Baruch Hashem, you are suffering. You are writing your Chidushe Torah out of poverty, out of hunger. There were tzaddikim that were writing their Chidushim on the walls because they didn't have money to buy papers. Someone came after and wrote and copied the Chidushe Torah from the walls that they wrote. I have books in my house of Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz. He was writing his Chidushei Torah on matches boxes, on buses tickets. He was writing his Chidushei Torah and collecting them and putting them on receipts from Bet Knesset, on receipts that he was receiving from Bet Merkachat pharmacy, writing his Chidushei Torah on every paper. Give him a paper. Just give him a paper. He's going to write Chidushei Torah on it and putting it in the books. This is you cannot understand. Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, he lived in poverty that we cannot imagine. Why? He was working all of his life. He was working, but he's writing in his Chidushei Torah. In one of the places I saw his writing, in Friday, while I was taking 10 rolls of bread chalot for Shabbos to give to needed people, to Nitzrachim, I had that Chidush Torah, that David is the aspect of this and that, and that Chalot, and all the secrets he's writing. When he was going and carrying bread to give to people that needs bread for Shabbos. There was a note in that, I have a Gemara, Masechet Brachot and Masechet Shabbat, belongs to Rav Leibovitz. In that Gemara, there is a note inside that he wrote, that there is a note. He was renting a house from some Talmid Chacham. That Talmid Chacham wrote for him, "Please, I'm begging you not to put more money than what that I told you." He told him, for sure, he made him a discount because he's a Talmid Chacham. He appreciated him very much. He made him a discount. And Rabbi Yehuda Zev was paying the complete price for the... And he told him, "Please, you're hurting my feeling when you're paying more than I told you to pay. Please, I'm asking you not to pay more." Everyone looking for discounts. "What? This is the price? No, you cannot make it lower. You cannot do something for..." Who are you that I'm going to do something for you? Who are you? Why do you think that you deserve to discount? Why you don't think about buying two like those? The son of Rabbi Natan, he was holding in that level that half of his salary he was give to one friend of him that was a Talmid Chacham, sitting and learning Torah all day long. And he would give 50% when he was going to buy a dress to his wife, he would buy another one for that man's wife. When he was going to the market to buy things, he would buy exactly, he was buying double, all of the time, giving half to that friend. He wrote that to his father, to Rabbi Natan. This was Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan wrote to him, "If you're praying on it, I'm jealous at you. If you're not praying on it, I'm not jealous at you." What it means? You're not jealous that someone is giving 50% of all of his salary to charity? No. If you think that you are giving 50% from your salary, means that you're not praying on it because you're honoring yourself. You think that you're something. I don't care about your mitzvah. It's worthless. It's nothing. It's zero. But if you're praying on it, means that you know that Hashem gives you that merit to donate and to give, then I'm jealous. Then I'm envious at you. Then I want that mitzvah. Mitzvah that is with humility. Mitzvah that comes out of tears, out of prayers, out of requests, out of humility, is a mitzvah, is Torah, is tefillah. And if not, if you think that you're in reality, "I'm donating, I'm giving, I'm teaching, I'm praying, I made 6 hours in Bodedut." Imaginations. You haven't done nothing. David HaMelech is begging, "Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, please open my mouth. I cannot talk without you. I cannot live without you. I cannot breathe without you." Every moment, we just need to thank Hashem. Thank you very much for that.